The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. It'll be Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. The meetings are over jumps at Newbury and Newcastle. We have all weather racing at Lingfield in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with a twilight fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton as well. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. We're going to look ahead to some of the action at Newbury. Mick's picked out three races there. But before we get to that, let's just have a chat about some of the news stories. Starting with this weekend's racing, Mick, we have the big race at Ascot, the Clarence House Chase. And Mick Shannon's been talking up the chances of Summersby today, saying he'd love to win it for the late Terry Biddle come. It'd be a day after his funeral. It'd be a nice touch, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And, you know, the very fact that... Summersby saved some of his best performances for Ascot. Must give them plenty of hope. I know he's got a few lengths to make up on Sada Grugy on their last meeting, but no, I don't think he's out of it, Summersby. I think Sada Grugy will have to turn up in the same form, or if not better. I think whatever happens, Summersby will give you a run for your money in that, and there'll be plenty of, sort of hearts rolling heads, shall we say, as far as that goes. But it would be great, wouldn't it?
It would, yes, it'd be nice. Sada Grugy 5-4. Summersby currently 4-1. It's 9-2 for Hidden Cyclone, 8s for Fox Appeal, Special TR is 10s, French Opera 12s, and then 14-1 are bigger prices the rest. So the betting suggesting Sada Grugy very much the one to beat. But Summersby, you could have a little each way bet on Summersby at 4s, and then
absolutely
if you place, you get most of your money back. So
yeah, and as I say, we know that he just saved some of his best. Just don't forget, not long since, he was only just touched off in the race by Mastermindy, when Mastermindy was at his absolute best.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's not a forlorn hope by any means.
No. And
he was third behind Sprinter Sacker as well. After that was when the race was rescheduled at the Cheltenham's Trials meeting, which I think Ascot suited him better, but personally, I think it's a big plus, him going back to Ascot.
OK, we'll find out this weekend. That's one of the highlights. We have some good racing to look forward to from Ascot and Haydock this weekend. Elsewhere, looking ahead to the Cheltenham Festival, Q-Card almost certain to go for the Gold Cup, apparently. His trainer, Colin Tizard, said yesterday that he's about 85% a chance to go to the Gold Cup. What do you make of that, mate?
As Colin says, if they went and won the Ryanair easily, they'd be kicking themselves saying, well, why didn't we have a crack at the Gold Cup? But you've got the Ryanair in your pocket. I mean, you can't have the bun and the hip. You've got to go for one or the other. And, I think he's got plenty of time to go to a Gold Cup. And, he just showed his class in the race last year, didn't he? Let him win another one and then have a crack at the Gold Cup and then nothing to lose.
Yeah. The thing is that they go to the Ryanair with a massive chance of winning it, don't they?
Favourite chance.
And they go to the Gold Cup with question marks whether he's going to stay.
Favourite.
Yeah. And question marks whether he's going to stay up the hill. Yeah. And we were talking in the office downstairs saying you could see him bowling along in front and travelling quite well, but then when you get to the last and you've got to come up that hill, there's going to be stronger stays in the race.
And there's also a side show, if you like, Mark. A hard race in the Gold Cup could finish him for the season, whereas if he comes out of it well, he could go to Aintree, he could go to Punchestown, but a hardish race in the Gold Cup. We saw what the Gold Cup did to them last year, didn't they? You know, it took Bolsworth a race to get over it, didn't he? And it can have that effect on these horses. I mean, they're top class horses, I know, but they are racing at the highest possible level of their ability, and it does take a lot out of them. It takes some recovering from. So no, if it was mine, he'd be going Ryanair this year and say, right, when he gets a year older, then we'll have a crack at the Gold Cup.
Yeah,
but he's not mine; he's theirs.
It's their decision to make, isn't it? They make the choice. Another previous festival winner that we haven't seen for a long time, Set to be back on the racecourse this weekend in Ireland. Dunguib is back, mate.
It's absolutely how appropriate that he's resuming in the Limestone Lad hurdle. Of course, Limestone Lad, what a star he was in Ireland a few years ago, wasn't he? And tremendous horse for the bows, and great that Dunguibs are lining up in the race named after that great horse.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see him back, and he hasn't run since... It wasn't a bad run either, was he? He was eighth behind Hurricane Fly in the 2011 Champion Hurdle. So, you know, he's a high-class horse, isn't he, Dunguib?
Yeah, be good to see him back. He's had a few problems, and hopefully he's somewhere near where he used to be. Mm. Anything else got your eye in the news this week, Mick?
Yeah, there just seems to be settling on the Darrell Jacob Paul Nicholls saga, doesn't it? Mm. The big book saga. I think there's more to that than meets the eye. I mean... It's just not in a jockey's DNA for me to have reservations about riding one of the best horses in training. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be a jockey if you weren't facing up to a challenge like that. Well, if you end up to facing a challenge, okay, if he gets beat, he gets beat. It's horse racing. You know, they all get beat, don't they? Mm. But you just wouldn't turn the ride down on Big Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see many people wanting to turn down Big Bucks. He's got a big ride coming up on Petty Zig, so he's still going to get big rides.
If they want Sam on it, fair enough. Just say we want Sam Twist and Davis to ride it without going all around the houses with reasons why Jacob isn't going to ride. It's nothing, no big deal, you know. If an owner wants a certain jockey on a horse, Darrell hasn't ridden him in public before, so no. It's not a big deal. It's not as if he's retained rider. There he's number one rider, but it's not like he's a retained rider and... you know, they're his rides by default.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that's pretty much covering itself now. I think, you know, I think people are going to look past that now rather than dwelling on it. So we won't dwell on it either, I don't think.
No, absolutely. I think enough's been said about
a
storm in an egg cup.
Let's talk about Wednesday's racing then, Mick. Some good racing to look forward to at Newbury.
Yeah, fantastic to have some good jumping back at Newbury and Newcastle. And, you know, one or two sort of interesting... horses turning up at both meetings as well. But we're going to have a look at one or two of the races on the Newbury card.
Mm-hmm. The first of which is the 1250, which is a Class 4 juvenile hurdle over the extended 2 miles. And we're likely to see a short price favourite in Dowerland, that won last time over course and distance, on its first start for Nicky Henderson. And Ivanhoe, the only other one with racecourse experience in the book as well, and then the rest of them newcomers mix. So how do you look at this?
Yeah, he's got a rating of 131 already, Dowerland, on the back of that course and distance win. He's amongst the market leaders for the Triumph Hurdle. I think it's, I don't know what price he is at the moment, but he's in the top three or four for the betting. And he has got the £7 penalty to carry. He and Ivanhoe have got the penalties. I think the way he won last time got the job done nicely. I think he's going to take a great deal of beating. He's from the bred by his harness, the Aga Khan, and we know that those families carry on improving with racing, and I think this fellow's going to be just that.
Okay, 25-20 is for the Triumph.
Oh, he's bigger than I thought. Mm. Yeah, I think that might shorten. You know, if you fancy him with the Triumph, I'd be taking a bit of that, and because that could easily go 16s, 14s, even 12s if he wins on Wednesday.
Yeah, if he were to win impressively, I don't think they'd leave him at 25s, would they?
No.
What do you make of the other one with the racecourse experience, Mick, Ivanhoe?
I don't think he's quite achieved enough in the book myself, but he certainly looks to have an aptitude for the game, but he's going to have to just raise his game. I don't think his level of form is quite... I mean, it's not as if it's a listed race or anything like that, but, you know, taking on... he's got the penalty... He's taken on Dowerland with the penalty, and he's also taken on one or two interesting debutants, which we'll get to in a moment.
Yeah,
you know, I think he might struggle under the penalty. I don't think it'll be a problem for Dowerland.
Okay. One good thing about that race at Foss last year, Foss Family Fun was second.
Yes.
Subsequently came out and won, so the form's not too bad, but I can see what you're saying about defying the penalty. And,
yeah.
There's a few interesting newcomers in there as well, mate.
There is. Carry On Sydney is a son of Not Now Cato, rated 87 at his best. Only got the one maiden win to his name on the flat, but has been placed twice in Class 2 company. Shouldn't have any problem with the trip, and it will have been well scored by Oliver Sherwood, and it's got Leighton Aspel doing the steering. And... the other newcomers are Interior Minister. He was trained by David Lanigan on the flat, rated 88 at his best. Again, only a maiden win to his name, but placed in Class 3 and 4 handicaps. So And again, no stamina problems. Very interesting recruit. And Jason Maguire teams up for a Don McCain newcomer, Prince Kouram. I don't know much about him. He was trained by André Farb in France. Limited evidence to his ability, but this son of Neaf has gone to the right, in the right hands, hasn't he? Mm. And if the money came for him, I'd be sort of having a second look at him. But I do expect Dawalan to win that and probably shorten up with the triumph.
Okay, Dawalan then in the 1250. The 150 is where we go next. This is a Class 4 novices hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and a pretty competitive field for this one. 13 of them in the lineup, but I suppose full shift's going to attract quite a bit of attention.
He was very short, wasn't he, for his debut at Newcastle. Wasn't overly impressive, but at least he did get the job done. Showed a good attitude when he got challenged on the run-in. And he can only improve with that, this former pointer. And I think this 2 mile three trip's ideal for him. And my worry with him, I do think he's probably going to be very hard to beat. My worry is he might get overbet.
Yeah.
And he wasn't overly impressive at Newcastle, it's got to be said. But he never looked like getting beaten either. So what you make of the performance, I'm not sure. There are others in the race, though, that have achieved more on the race course than he at this moment in time.
Yeah, and you're going to get an each-way price about most of them, aren't you? Because he's going to take a lot out of the market.
I totally agree. We'll go through a few of them, Mark. I mean, Brother Brian, trained by Huey Morris, and Tom O'Brien takes the ride. Tom was on board for the win last time. First time Tom had sat on him. Fairly useful on the flat. Has improved with each start over hurdles. In fact, he improved dramatically from his debut to land a course and distance. So that was the National Hunt Novices, which means the flatties aren't allowed in them. But it was still a step in the right direction. And I think he won that like a horse with more to come. The other interesting one is Cole Harden, who's won 3 of his last 4. Warren Greatrix trains. Jason Maguire is on board, and this horse has been ridden in all of his starts to date by claimers, good claimers, admittedly, but claimers nevertheless. And Jason Maguire, a senior jockey, is on board for the first time. It was a smart bumper horse, winning 2 from 2, and not many are good enough to win the second bumper under the penalty. It takes a horse with bags of ability, and he's going the right way over hurdles. There was a lot to like about the Fontwell win last time. And, well, I don't know what price he's going to go off at, Mark, but I cannot see him not being involved. He looks a real prospect to me, this Cole Harden. Down at the bottom, there's an interesting recruit, Zulu Oscar, from a good yard, Harry Fry. Noel Feely taking the ride. He improved each start in bumpers, winning his third and final start at Wincanton. All 3 bumper starts were at Wincanton, so he's now got to go the other way around for his hurdling debut. But he has looked a bit tasty, and he's one I'm going to be keeping a close eye on whatever happens. I do think that Full Shift does look full of potential, but I think the likely price is going to be on Wednesday. I think I'd want to be with Cole Harden each way as a saver on the pro market, because he's going to take such a chunk out of the market, I think, Full Shift, that he's going to make a mockery of some of the others who've got live chances.
Yeah, and Cole Harden won on heavy last time as well, so the ground will be no issue.
Ground either, is so. Absolutely no problem, whatever. That was very heavy at Fontwell, yep. And as Jason Maguire in the saddle is a big plus.
Yeah, whereas Full Shift won at Newcastle on good ground, so that's another question mark.
Yeah, it was, but and I think it was the good ground that made it sort of like there was about 5 with a chance jumping the last. And he did show good attitude to go away and win it. I mean, I'm not knocking the horse. I'm just saying at the likely price he's going to be. There are others in the race who've achieved actually more on a race course at the moment.
Yeah. Should be a good novice to settle that.
Absolutely, yeah. Fantastic.
Okay. The last race we're going to look at is the 225. This is a handicap chase for the Harwell Trophy. A Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. And Financial Climate arrives here in pretty good nick. Mick.
Yes, absolutely. Trained by Oliver Sherwood, Thomas Garner taking the ride. Thomas getting plenty of chances off Oliver Sherwood. He's in a good frame of form at present. Financial Climate won 2 of his last 4, and he did fall in one of the other two when he might have won that day as well. He's £8 higher than for that course win over 3 mile, three furlongs. But I don't think that's going to be a problem for him, is it? I think he's a horse going the right way. Very, very much on the upgrade financial climate. He's only 7 years old, and I think there could well be the more, you know, more to come from him. Others to consider, well, Tullamore Dew, he's declared to run Exeter on Tuesday, which I think, I can't see him bypassing Exeter to wait for this, because the Exeter race would be easier.
Yeah.
So I think he'll head to Exeter. I think he was probably declared for this in case Exeter went the way of the weather. So we can probably put the line through him. Railway Dylan's interesting. Still well treated on his form of 2012 and 2013, despite going up for that win at Bangor last time. And he wasn't winning out of turn either, because he'd run well at Newcastle twice before. So he's got to be considered now he's got back to winning ways. And Dunlop Bay. Now, I had a look back at Dunlop Bay's run when second behind Baby Shine at Toaster on Boxing Day. And I was really impressed with the way this horse stuck to its task. Baby Shine always just looked to be going that bit better than Dunlop Bay. But goodness me, he would not let that one get away. And he made Baby Shine work all the way to the line. And there was a lot to like about that attitude. Been run up on his last two now. And I think he's knocking on the door, this horse. And the way this race might just pan out might play to his strength. And I think he's probably going to be a neglected one in the betting, if you like, 7, 8, 9 to 1 chance, maybe. I don't know. But be interesting to see how the price this one up. And I think he could well be a bit of value. And another one to consider is Tully Rain, Sam Twist and Davis riding for Father Nigel. He went up £3 for that second behind Herdsman at Bangor, but it was only close home that Herdsman came and grabbed him. Herdsman never looked like winning that till after the last, and I think there's more to come from this horse. He's had a 63-day break since then, so he missed all of the November when they couldn't buy a winner in November, the Twist and Davises, and he's back here fresh, still lightly raced over fences, and very much respected. Trappy little race, this. I couldn't help but like Dunlop Bay's attitude at Toaster. Not an easy track for a horse to do what he did. I liked his attitude, the way he battled away up that hill, even though it was a seemingly lost cause. And I think he could go off at a decent price. So I'm just going to give him the each way call in the 225.
Okay, let's have a quick summary of your selections then, Mickey, if you don't mind.
I think Dowellan is going to be very hard to beat in the opener. Keep an eye on some of those newcomers, though. And as you say, the Ivanhoe race worked out as well, even though his form before that probably just wanted improving on. But, yeah, it's a good little juvenile hurdle that might shed some light on the Triumph. In the Newbury 150, I think Full Shift's going to be all the rage. He got the job done nicely at Newcastle. He's going to have to do it on softer ground and a little bit further as well, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for him. But I do think that Cole Harden each way might be a safer option than, just in case they go berserk on Full Shift and make him a ridiculously short price. Cole Harden definitely going the right way. A lot to like about the win at Fontwell last time. And Jason McGuire in the saddle for the first time, replacing Claimers, who've been riding him. And he did manage to win two bumpers, this horse. Not many horses can do that, two from two in bumpers. And in the 225, a really good handicap chase, this, over 3 miles. I like the look of Dunlop Bay. I like the way he stuck to his task at Toaster last time, and he could reward each way support at a fancy price.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Well done, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Wednesday's racing at Newbury. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capel in the studio. We have this meeting at Newbury, the jumping at Newcastle as well, and all-weather action at Lingfield in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Kempton as well. So tune in from 12:20pm for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.